Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to pick out the very first two verses, our text verse, and then we're going to use those as a springboard to dive off into the remainder of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, one of the most important things that you must have, all of us must have in our lives. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse number 2. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. I want to speak for a few moments on this subject. Your faith can. Let's get some help. Father, thank you today for allowing us to be here. Father, I pray in a special way that the Holy Spirit might do his work. Oh God, I pray right now that you'll change us from the inside out. Father, help us to leave this building knowing what our faith can do. Father, we pray right now that you'll do what you desire to do in this building here this morning. Again, I pray if there's any loss, save them. And Father, for those of us who have been united with you through Christ by salvation and repentance and receiving your Son, I pray that we'll leave this building with the full knowledge of what our faith can do. Father, please have your will in your way. Do what you desire to do. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as I said, I'm preaching on your faith can. And a lot of times when I'm preaching, sometimes I'll use a little runway, and that's called an introduction before I dive off into what God has for us. But today I'm not using any runway. I'm acting like a helicopter. I'm going airborne. Amen. So we're going right to our first point. What can your faith do? Number one, your faith can build things. Your faith can build things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7 puts it this way. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. One thing that Noah did by faith was Noah built the ark. I want you to look up at the screens, but listen to me also. In Genesis chapter 6, I want you to listen to these verses. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 down through verse number 16, it states, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it, 50 cubits, and the height of it, 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Understand what's going on. God warned Noah of the impending flood that was about to take, that was going to wipe all of humanity and all of those things that had breath in them that would be upon the earth and the birds that fly, etc. God was going to wipe them off of the face of the earth. And God told Noah that I want you to build an ark, and that ark was going to be made so that it could preserve Noah's family, and also so that it could preserve those animals that God would bring to the ark, seven of the clean animals, and then two of all the others, the unclean, etc. And so now God gave him dimensions as far as how he wanted him to build that ark. He said he wanted him to build that ark 300 cubits long. If you don't know what a cubit is 18 inches. That's a foot and a half. That meant that that ark that Noah was supposed to build by faith was supposed to be 450 feet long. If you want to get an idea of what that is, then just stand at the end of a football field and look all the way to the other end, and then divide that football field in half, and imagine it flipping over to the other side. It literally was a football field and a half long, 300 cubits, 450 feet. And then the breadth of it was supposed to be 50 cubits. 50 cubits would have been 75 feet wide. And then it was supposed to be 30 cubits high. 30 cubits meant it was 45 feet high. That meant you're looking at something 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 40 and a half feet high. If you had 10-foot ceilings in it, you're talking about 4.5-story building. Without modern engineering like what we have today, without a massive group of people to come in, all they had were just 4 men and 4 women to build this ark. God gave the people an opportunity to repent, and God gave them 120 years. And whenever Noah was finished with the ark, that was it. And so now, by faith, Noah had to build this massive ark that would just boggle the mind for only 4 men and 4 women to be able to build. And even at this time, when you look at Noah's age, Noah was already advanced in age, or he's still going to live a lot longer, but he was already advanced in age. And now they're called upon to build this ark by faith. By the way, you could only build an ark like this by faith. Not only that, now you had to deal with all of the other stuff that was going on in society. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 and verse 38, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Jesus talking about a future event. But notice how he's describing those days of Noah. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." It was a time when men literally were just doing whatever they wanted to do, going about their daily business. The Bible tells us how that the wickedness of man's heart was only evil continually. All of this was going on in society, and Noah had to build an ark in that culture. As I said, Noah didn't have anybody standing with him except for seven people beside himself. But yet they got the ark built by faith. They were building something that had never been built before. They were building it for something that had never happened before. It had never rained before. You say, well, how was the crops watered? The crops were watered because God allowed the mist to come up. By the way, even in our society today, you go out and you feel the grass early in the morning. And you know what you're going to feel on the grass? You're going to feel dew on the grass. You know something? I want to stop and say this. There was a song that we used to sing years ago when I was growing up, and it went something like this: "It won't be water, but fire next time." Some of y'all remember that. All right, I see a few hands shaking and heads shaking. Some of you remember that. God told Noah, the rain won't stop. It won't be water, but fire next time. So you remember that. And every time you see a rainbow, just think of it. That's God's promise. God is saying, I'm just letting you know I'm still here. I'm still in the under control. I told you I was going to give you the bow in the clouds, as he told Noah. I'm going to put that bow in the cloud just to let you know that I'll never destroy the earth by water again. When this earth is destroyed, it's going to be burned up by fire. Let me go on record by saying, and I'm running down a rabbit trail, don't worry and don't spend your time and don't be concerned about all the stuff you hear today about global warming. Drive your car, do whatever you want to do, because when God decides it's time to warm this earth up, He's going to warm it up and he's going to burn it up. You're not preserving the earth. Nobody is. You've got people that think, oh, yeah, I'm preserving. God's the one who's preserving this thing that we're on. He's the one who's in charge. Can somebody say amen right there? He's the one who's in charge. Well, Noah had to build this ark in the midst of all the chaos and everything that was going on. I know human nature. I could see people now as maybe they've got it halfway built, partially built. And people come by and they're walking and they're jeering at him and making fun, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But by faith, Noah just keeps on building. I can see them talking about Noah and saying, that guy's cracked up. Everybody around him is cracked up. The whole family is pixelated. They're all kind of messed up. They all have problems. All of them. But what does Noah do? Noah just keeps right on working by faith, by faith, by faith. See, faith keeps right on working regardless of how things look. Faith keeps right on working regardless about what others say. Faith just keeps right on working because, see, faith sees the finished project, not what's going on right now. And, see, there are things that you can build in your life if you operate by faith. It took them 120 years, but they got it all done. And I'm sure when people were outside of the ark screaming and crying and clawing at the ark because now the fountains of the deep have been broken up and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sure they were outside beating on the door of the ark. But see, Noah couldn't open the door. Say why? Because Noah didn't close the door. God closed the door on the ark. And see, when God closes it, it stays closed. When he opens it, it's open. And you know what's amazing? When God told him about that ark, we don't see anywhere in the scriptures where God had them so that they could open it up. God is the one who's in control of everything. By the way, I'm just following the Holy Spirit as he leads. I'm going. Amen. There is an ark today, and it's called the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. It's amazing, and I could take time and show you some correlations between the Godhead and the ark. It's just tremendous when you stop to think about it. Think about that. And I wasn't even going to go this way, but I'm there, so I'm going. Think about it. This ark had three stories in it, three enclosed in one. Think about it. You've got three in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hey, God was the one who told Noah what to do. God, concerning the ark, God has told us what to do. See, we need to get like he got in the ark. We need to get in Christ. And see, when you get in Christ, you don't seal yourself. We are sealed until the day of redemption. See, there's a direct correlation. And one day when the judgment of God falls upon this earth, like the night sky falls in a dark place, we're going to be in heaven enjoying all the splendor and bliss. We're going to be calm. Why? Because we're going to be in Christ. While judgment is falling, we're going to be in him, relaxed in him. Noah didn't have to worry about a thing. Why? Because he wasn't in control. You know what'll give you peace in your life is you when you realize you're not in control of your life. God is in control of your life. He is the one who's keeping you. He is the one who's sustaining you. He is the one who's watching over you. And he'll order your steps and he'll order your stops. And when it's all said and done, you're going to be able to say, to God be the glory, great thing he have done. How many of you know we have a good God today? He is in control. He's in control. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And see, your faith, it can build some things. No matter how it looks, your faith can build. Listen, your faith can build a business when other businesses are going under. Your faith can build a home when the world, the flesh, and the devil are against your home. there have been businesses that have lost the first year, but after a while, things begin to pick up because the ones who are working on it say, I'm believing God by faith, by faith, by faith. J.C. Penney said he determined he was going to start tithing out of his business. And when J.C. Penney started tithing out of his business, God turned around and blessed his business. And probably all of us in here have been at J.C. Penney's store at one time or another. Come on, let me see your hands. All right, hands all over this building at some time. Hey, that was a work of faith. You can build your home and the devil, the world, and the flesh can try to come against your home. I don't care how bad things look. I don't care how things are not working out right now. The finished product is not yet presented to you. You keep building. Build it by faith. When you can't see it, you faith it. You believe that God can do the impossible. Your faith can cause you to follow others when you see others falling away from God. Because you know, as the song said, where could I go but to the Lord? Your faith can build a class. Your faith can build a worker. It takes time to build something that can withstand the onslaughts of the devil. It takes time to build something that can take and weather some things. Hey, but when they made that ark so that it was sealed within and without with pitch. Nothing that was in was going to get out, and nothing that was out was going to get in. Hey, when you get in Christ, you can't lose what he's already put on the inside of you, and the devil can't come in and take it. Thank God we have something that's great. See, it's your faith. Your faith. See, your faith, it can build something. It can build something. You got to keep going. You have to keep going. I said, your faith can. I said, number one, your faith can build things. Secondly, your faith can cause others to be blessed. Your faith can cause others to be blessed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and verse number 9. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Watch this. The heirs with him of the same promise. See, by faith, Abraham obeyed God and went to a place which he knew not. However, he was walking on that same land that God would eventually give to him, give to Isaac, give to Jacob, and eventually to the nation of Israel. See, our faith can cause blessings to fall on other people. Our faith can cause God to bless those with whom we are associated. And because of Abraham's faith, Isaac, Jacob, and eventually Israel as a nation were blessed. See, your faith can cause your wife to be blessed, your husband to be blessed, your children to be blessed, your grandchildren to be blessed. Your faith can cause your great-grandchildren to be blessed. Think about what was going on. They were traveling around in tents, tabernacles, tents, one place to another, to another. What if Isaac said, you know, I'm tired of traveling? What if that had been the case? And then Abraham said, you know, I'm tired of traveling too. I think I'll just stay here instead of here. But God spoke to Abraham and he said, you go And the thing that Abraham didn't know initially, but he found out later, was that everywhere he was walking, God was promising it to him. See, there are times in your life when you may not feel like doing something, but you don't know when you keep walking by faith. God said, every time you take a step, I'm calculating your blessings in heaven. See, faith can cause others around you to be blessed. And Isaac was blessed. Jacob was blessed. They went down into Egypt, and the Israelites came out of that as a nation. And by the way, they're still in the land today. Let me go on record by saying, anytime God winds something up, man can't stop it. We ought to know that there is a God in heaven. All you have to do is just open your eyes and you can see there's a God in heaven. Brother Larry even touched on it a little bit this morning. Amen. In Sunday school, you can tell, you can look at the stars, whatever. You can understand there's a God in heaven. You look at Israel. Israel should not be existing today. They shouldn't. But they're still here. Because God, not because of who they were. He told them that. God, in his divine providence, chose them. And many nations have tried to silence Israel. But every nation that tried to silence Israel either are no longer in existence or found out they couldn't do it. You check it out. You check it out. Babylon, God used Babylon to judge Israel, and then God judged Babylon for what they did to Israel. That's the kind of God that we have. It's like he took the switch and then allowed them to be whipped with the switch and then broke the switch up when he was through with it. God is in control. You look at the Grecian Empire, you look at the Medo-Persian Empire. You look at the Grecian Empire under Alexander. You look at the Roman Empire. Where is the Roman Empire today? You look at Germany and Hitler, how he tried to destroy the Jews. 6 million of them were killed, massacred, put in graves, massive graves, bodies just all over the place. And by the way, we should not have won the war. They had better machinery. Their troops were more refined than us. But see, when you've got God on your side, there's more with us that been with them. And we have for many years, we have bases over in Germany. Germany doesn't have one base here in America. You can't silence. You talk about the Six-Day War. They should not have survived. But Israel survived. I'm in the 60s now. Now I'm going to go back at the time during World War II when they tried to wipe out Israel. 6 million of them killed. We've got them. Next thing you know, right there in the 40s, God just brought them in from all over and Israel became a nation. In the 1940s, they should have been wiped out. I came to say this. See, when you have faith, and that's why I'm glad that we're on the side of Israel. Because Israel operates under divine perpetuity. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And America is the most blessed nation on the face of this earth because we have been allies with Israel. We cut off Israel and see what happens to us. Oh, I'm telling you today, your faith can cause others to be blessed. Everything I just mentioned to you, even our blessings as a nation today, can all be traced back to the faith of Abraham. That one step that he made can be traced all throughout history. Your faith can. Number three, your faith not only can build things and cause others to be blessed. Number three, your faith can override a deadline. Your faith can override a deadline. Notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself. I read that too fast. I got to read it again. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. Watch this. When she was past age. Why, comma, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah was delivered of a child. She had a child. She was past age. There was a deadline in her life. She was beyond that age. But because she judged God faithful, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years of old, she delivered or she gave birth to a baby. See, we have a God who knows how to override some deadlines, but we have to judge him faithful who hath promised. When you hear a sermon and God, you know, when God speaks to your heart, you say, you know something, God, I accept that. I believe that. I believe you're speaking to my heart, my situation, what's going on in my God. I accept that, and I'm believing that you're going to bring it to pass. When you read the scriptures and the Holy Spirit allows that scripture to come out like a beacon in the night, you say, God, I'm taking you at your word. I'm believing that this is going to come to pass. Now, when you believe it, don't look around at your circumstances. Because see, if you start looking around at your circumstances like Peter, you begin to wobble. What you have to do is keep your focus on that word. Keep your focus on what God has said, and it'll keep you going during those times. Because see, faith can override deadlines. I don't care what man says. God has a last say so. Some of you remember Pastor Victor Hamlin. He's preaching a few times. And I think it was either the last time or the second to last time. It's hard for me to remember now. That he preached and he told the story about how he and his daughter, at that time, she wasn't even able to drive. She was thinking like 15. She had her permit. She knew how to drive, but she didn't have a driver's license. And he said that he was with her and they were traveling. And I think he had stopped off at a rest stop or something. He went just to try to get a little nap. And he said when he woke up, he realized that something had happened. And she was sitting right there. Stroke, stroke, stroke. He had a stroke. Faith. You know how everything happens with a stroke. But he knew that he didn't have insurance. He had to get back to a place where he could get some help. And so he had his daughter to drive. And he sat in the car with that stroke. And by the time she got him back there, and they got him to the doctor said, you waited too late. He said, you should have come in earlier. You should have gotten someplace earlier. It's too late. He said, we're not going to be able to do anything to help you. You're going to remain just like you are, paralyzed. God can override a deadline. He was preaching in the pulpit. You would have never known it had he not said it. His face was not twisted. Nothing was wrong with his side. Because he judged him faithful who had promise. Am I preaching to anybody today? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what the doctors say. The doctors can say it's too late. But we have a God who can override some deadlines. Some deadlines. Oh, I could tell you that story over and over again. I've heard so many times, it's too late. It can't be. And I've seen God say, hey, it's time. It's time. Sometimes God waits until the deadline. It's past that time. And then he steps in. Because see, he can get greater glory out of it. When was it that Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead? It was after the deadline. He waited. He heard about it a couple of days before. And he didn't even have to go there. He could, just like he'd done on, in another occasion, he could have been in that place, spoke the word, and Lazarus would have been healed. He had done it before. But he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God himself might be made manifest. See, sometimes we've got to go through something so that others can know that Jesus is real. And there's nothing impossible with God. Matter of fact, my Bible says, with God, all things are possible. One time, we heard about a scholarship that our daughter Danielle could have gotten, but it was past the deadline. I said, I'm going over to Winston-Salem State anyway. So I went over by myself and went in there and talked to different people and finally got the person who was the second in command of this scholarship. And I sat down, and this conversation should have taken probably about 5 to 10 minutes, but the person told me, they said, it's too late. I mean, if she had applied earlier, she might have been able to get this, but it's too late. Well, faith can't accept that. And our conversation lasted somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes. And by the time everything was said and done, she said, well, okay, I'll see if they'll approve it, but I just don't think so. I said, well, at least try. She went and she tried. She came back. She said, I'm shocked, but they approved it. $24,000 scholarship. God overrides the deadlines. When it came time for us to come over there, Danielle and I went and we sat in that lady's office, and that lady looked at Danielle. She pointed at Danielle and she pointed at me, and she said, you've got that scholarship because of him. It wasn't because of me. It's because of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? God overrides deadlines. He overrides deadlines. Somebody might have said it's too late for something, and maybe you've heard that somewhere. Somebody tell you, just too late, too late, too late, too late. God overrides it. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Somebody may tell you, hey, it's too late. You're too old. No, Sarah was old, but she wasn't too old for God. God overrides deadlines. Let your faith do what God wants it to do. Your faith, I said, can build things. Your faith can cause others to be blessed. Your faith can override a deadline. Number four, your faith can cause you to make the right choices. Your faith can cause you to make the right choices. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and verse 25, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, Moses chose to be with God and with God's people instead of all the promise of Egypt, and Egypt is symbolic of the world. See, faith can cause us to make the right choices. When we understand, when we weigh them out, and we realize that everything associated with God is great. The things associated with the world, they're temporal, won't last, won't give you pleasure, won't give you joy, not lasting joy. There's pleasure a lot of times in the sin of the world. Oh, but it's only for a season, and the season will end. But when you are on God's side, you're going to find out that at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore, saith the psalmist. And see, when you stand with God and against the world, I cannot explain it, but I can tell you, he will do something on the inside of you that will change you. He will give you a peace in the midst of your storm. He'll give you comfort. He'll give you joy. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you strength. Because, see, all the things that we need come from him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So when we are walking by faith, faith says, I'm going to make the right choice. Faith will say, if I've got to choose between this job and that job, this job, I'll be satisfied with the amount of money that I make. I would like to make more, but I'm satisfied with it. It's okay. This one, if I choose this one, oh my, I'm going to be able to buy this and buy that, bank this and get that, but I'm not going to be able to serve God. Faith says, I'll take this job and anything that I need, I'll trust God to supply. You with me? See, faith makes the right choices. Faith allows us to be able to do the right thing. I don't have this in the scripture, but I was reading it this morning. So you bear with me for just a second. I was reading it this morning. I read a few chapters, and I want to give you something. And I mean, God spoke to my heart. It's in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. You don't have to turn there. But it says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And when I read that in my Bible reading this morning, man, I got it underlined. I said, praise God. Hey, I'd rather side with God. Because, see, when you're with God, you may not have all the money of the world, but you have great riches because you can't put a price tag on the things that God can give you. And what I found, by the way, I read a little bit later where he said that the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the righteous. See, when you side with him, after a while, God can take what somebody else got and turn around and give it to you. Woo, I'm telling you, God is a great God this morning. We got to operate by faith. Faith will cause you to make the right choices. The right choices. When we walked away from Wells Fargo, we walked away from any kind of retirement, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm telling you, I don't lose one moment of sleep over it. Because I've seen the great riches that God has given to us by faith. I wouldn't trade them for anything. I need a new body, amen. I'm about to explode out of this one. Your faith, here's the last one. I said your faith can build things. I said your faith can cause others to be blessed. I said your faith can override a deadline. I said your faith can cause you to make the right choices. Number five, your faith can allow you to get into places other people can't. I'm going to say it again. Your faith can allow you to get into places other people can't. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That took faith. A seeming impossible, impenetrable place. And God told them, by faith, march around one time, go home. The second day, march around one time, go home. The third day, march around, go home. You do that 6 days and go home just one time. On the seventh day, you go around 7 times. And then you just shout, and I'll give the victory. See, by faith, sometimes what we have to do, by faith, we just have to keep walking. It may seem like as if it's impenetrable. Impenetrable. It may seem like as if you can't get into it, but you just trust God by faith, and God will open the door. He can get you in places other people can't get into. There'll be places and positions that people want to get but can't, but you just walk in by faith, and God will touch somebody's heart, and they'll say, I'll give it to you. There's a preacher, Brother Hiles, he told the story. And I've told it here. He said how he was on the courtroom
steps, had his Bible open, praying that God would give him a job. And he got a verse, and he claimed that verse. And he said, God, I want a job at the JCPenney store. There was a JCPenney store across the street. This was years ago. And he said he got his Bible. And he said he opened his Bible. And he just walked with his Bible open. And when he walked inside the store, he said he had his Bible open. And he said, I want to speak to the manager. And he said the manager came in. He said he had, he described him. And so he talked about the manager. And then the manager said, yes, can I help you? He said, sir, he said, I'm going to work here. That's what he said. He said, sir, I'm going to work here. And the manager said, what? He said, and he pointed to Jeremiah 33:3. He said, I was just on the courthouse step. He said, and I was reading in my Bible right here where it said, where God said, and then he quoted Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, I was sitting over there. I asked God for this job. I believe God's going to give it to me. And by the way, they had just fired a bunch of, not fired, they had just laid off a bunch of people because the business was slow. They weren't hiring anybody. And he said, but sir, he said, I claim that verse. He said, that man looked at him and said, you're hired. You're hired. And here's what he told him. He said, the reason why I hired you, he said, you're either going to be the greatest salesman in the history of the JCPenney company or the biggest flop that's ever walked through this door. And he said, now I'd die if I didn't hire you to find out which one you were going to be. See, faith will open doors that other people can't. I've told the story, and I'll close with this one. I told the story how when we were in Bible college, I needed a job. And so I went out, and the first place I went to was Wells Fargo. And I went to Wells Fargo. I just wanted to get my foot in the door. I went to Wells Fargo, and I, you know, had an interview. And when they were interviewing me, at the close of the interview, the lady said, we just don't have anything. I said, okay. And I got up, and I started walking out. And right about the time I got to the door, she said, well, because we had a conversation, she said, how are you going to make it? Because she knew I was in Bible college and so forth, and I had to support a wife and kids. She said, how are you going to make it? And this is exactly what I told her. I said, I'm just living by faith. And she said, young man, she said, come here. She said, sit down. She got on the phone, and she called up somebody from the vault. You've heard me tell the story before. Called up somebody from the vault. She said, I've got a young man up here you need to talk to. And to make a long story short, went down to the vault, got hired. At the vault, amen. Sister Sylvia, you were working down there, amen. When I came down there, she was working in the vault too. Got hired in the vault. All of that was because I didn't walk out with my head held down. I just said, I'm living by faith. And see, when we begin to speak faith, walk faith, talk faith, act faith, believe faith, and trust God, God can turn around and cause us or allow us to get into places other people can't. There are people who have VIP passes. That VIP pass, people can be standing in line, they can be waiting, whatever, wherever it is. But that VIP pass allows them to be able to get in to places other people can't get into. You go to an amusement park, you can buy a particular ticket that can allow you to bypass the masses and get up with the group because you've got, if I could use this term, a VIP pass. Do you know all of us who are Christians, we have a VIP pass. We are connected to a very important person. If I could use this term, a very important potentate. And he has power to unlock doors that other people can't get into. I want to close by this. You allow your faith to do things, like help you to build things. Your faith can cause others to be blessed, override a deadline, help you to make the right choices and get into places other people can't. It's time that we start walking by faith. Let's bow for prayer.